For those that can't be here, and we just desperately miss those that can't be here for whatever reason, especially with the COVID, and it's just heartbreaking. You know, I just look out there and say, man, tears me up, but it's just what we're going through, you know, and I totally 1,000% respect people for doing what they have to do through this time with their family, and I just love them. Just miss them, though. I miss them here. But today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and being thankful for the grace of God in our lives. So Thanksgiving Day, that's Thursday. Everyone planning on doing something? Say amen. Yeah. Going to have a bird in the oven or something, right? I told my brother-in-law, pray for my wife and I. We're going to be out of town with her family, and we're going to be doing that, and told my brother-in-law, I said, well, because him and his wife are in transition, and that's my wife's sister's husband, Ron, and I said, well, we could go to Perkins or something. You do, you know, we've never did that, you know, kind of have like an empty nester Thanksgiving. He goes, oh, no, we're going to have Thanksgiving with one of the kids and so on. I said, okay, all right. But Thanksgiving Day, someone has said it like this. He says, Thanksgiving Day is a worthy doorkeeper to the holiday season. It was first held in 1611 after the winter of 1610 had reduced the number of settlers from 406 to 60. They prayed for help, and God answered them in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England. They thanked him. In 1621, another band of 46 Puritans and 91 natives had a special day of Thanksgiving to praise the Lord for the bountiful harvest. The previous winter had reduced their number from 102 to 46. We may wonder what they had to be thankful for. They were thankful for grace. Now, George Washington called for a national day of Thanksgiving in 1789. Lincoln established the last Thursday of November would be the day of Thanksgiving in America. Congress finally settled the day on the fourth Thursday in November as the official day of Thanksgiving here in America. We better enjoy it while we can, because there are people that are working right now on the left, the extreme left, the infidels, the atheists of the world. They've already been after the Pledge of Allegiance. In God We Trust, they've been attacking Christmas, using the word Christmas, the Ten Commandments. I live in Hayden, amen, and we have a city hall there and a park. And the Ten Commandments are there. So when they start coming after that, I'm going to be standing there. Amen. Lord willing. The Lord gives me strength. If you're ever up in Sandpoint, Idaho, go to the park there. They got a great granite Ten Commandments display there. I'm telling you, we need to enjoy it and thank the Lord for it. And when you think of these things that people are trying to take away, someday they're going to... The social justice crowd and the cancel culture crowd wants to do away with Columbus Day. That's racist. Everything's racist. Amen. You know, good night. Someday they're going to come after Thanksgiving. Amen. And they're going to. Yeah, that's right. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to wonder why, you know, one day we're going to look back. We are not going to have a country anymore. But I'll tell you what, we can stand up for what's right, and we can still celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, and stand for the flag, amen, with your hand over your heart, amen. And kneel at the cross, that's amen. Right. We need to order up some more of them shirts, amen, give them out. So, but our text this morning presents us with a man who shows us where the real cause for Thanksgiving lies. It's good to be thankful for the material and the physical things that we have. I am. Aren't you thankful that you're not on a street corner begging? Amen. Aren't you thankful that you do have a husband, a wife, or a family that you can share Thanksgiving with? Man, I'm telling you, if you haven't been thankful for that, you should be, you know. But there are some things that are more valuable than that. And I want to examine this man, this story today, as a man that had thanksgiving in his heart. And I pray that this morning that God would help us to see the real reason for this season. I know we say that during Christmas, but in Thanksgiving, amen. In our text, in Luke chapter 17, we'll start in verse 11. The Bible says it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I don't know if we're going to have time to really dig into that, but Samaria and Galilee was between the northern tribes and the southern tribes. It's interesting that Jesus was a man from Galilee. This place, Samaria and Galilee, was really looked upon, looked down upon amongst the Jews. Verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. Lord, help us to have a thankful and grateful heart this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here today and allowing me to be a pastor, Lord, and allowing me to be the husband and the father to my children. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, this morning that we could be just filled up with thanksgiving and gratitude, not just today, but every day of the year, Lord. Lord, be with us as we study this great lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off first by seeing that these 10 were in a bad condition. You know, this little congregation of lepers, as they approached Jesus, we see clearly in the scripture that there were 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. And their condition was leprosy. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about leprosy. You know, leprosy is curable today, but back then it wasn't cured. There was no cure, nothing for leprosy. But leprosy was healed in the day, and every time that leprosy was healed, it was attributed to God. It had to take a miracle from God for someone to be healed from leprosy. It was a tragic. Disease. I think it's worthy to look at some scripture references in the book of Leviticus. And some people get, when they read their Bible through in a year or whatever, or they attempt it, they usually bail out when they get to Leviticus. I'm telling you, Leviticus is rich with some Bible lessons for us. Amen. And it has a lot to say about the Levitical laws and their condition. And we see, first of all, with leprosy, you see it's deeper than the skin. You see it's deeper than the skin. Leviticus 13:3, the Bible says, and the priest shall look upon the plague in the skin of the flesh when the hair of the plague is turned white and the plague is in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh. It is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. You see here in Leviticus, it says that leprosy, the plague, even though it outward disfigures someone that continues to rapidly advance with this disease, they get deformed. And I've heard stories about people's fingers falling off and they get morphed and just grotesque looking, and it's just bad. But it also says that the disease is deeper than the skin. We know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, let me turn there. It talks about sin and what sin does. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, let me see, 23, that isn't what I'm looking for. 6:23 is what I believe I need here. No. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. No wonder. Okay. 6:23 in Romans, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Back in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We know that anytime you see leprosy in the Old Testament, it's always a type of sin, right? And it's always deeper than the skin. And it's always, it's something that you can't, many times someone could be in some sin, whatever the sin may be, and you can't see it outwardly, but it sure is there, isn't it? Yeah. Just a couple other things. We see that in Galatians 6:7 it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." We see that leprosy spreads. That's why they had to distance themselves, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you also see that leprosy defiles. In Leviticus 13:44 and 45 it says, "He is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." And you know, a lot of us know about that. You've heard sermons on it or listened to messages about that. You know, when a leopard would approach any type of other people, he would have to pronounce himself as unclean. He's unclean. He was defiled. And that's what sin does, doesn't it not? Not only does sin is deeper than the skin, and that sin spreads, and that sin defiles, but it also isolates. It also isolates. I was looking for a verse on this in Isaiah chapter 59. Leviticus 13:46. Listen to this, what it says about the lepers. It says, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell," look at this, alone. "Without the camp shall his habitation be." That means, you know, when the Israelites traveled and, you know, in the wilderness 40 years, and they talk about the camp, that means if you had leprosy, you were put outside of the camp. And is that not what sin does? Amen. You know, the devil dangles sin in front of a person's life and says, "Man, if you'll just do this, right? You know, if you just go down this road, right, you're going to be happier." Right. It never ends up like that. Huh? Yep. I remember a good friend of mine, his wife divorced him, right? And she says, "I just need to do this for me. It's going to be good for me. I'm going to be happier." I don't think she's happier. You know what I'm saying? Or a young person that goes off into sin and they rebel and they say, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with whatever." You just fill in the blank, right? "I don't see anything wrong with that," right? And I'm just going to go off and they know it's sin, even though they're denying it, right? But they think that thing or whatever it is going to make them happy. It doesn't. Amen. And it isolates them. It isolates them from their parents, from their friends, from their family. I mean, I know what you're thinking, right? You're probably thinking of somebody, or you might be thinking of the struggles you got going on right now. It's like a friend of mine asked a friend of mine, he goes, man, I really need you to some help in this area. And his friend told him, he goes, man, I can't. I'm battling my own demons. You're thinking, whoa, him? What? Whoa. You know what I mean? What is it, right? It's deeper than the skin. People don't know, you know. And I'm telling you, that's why we need the Lord. Amen. And ultimately, you know, just like sin, amen, it defiles, amen, and it isolates, and eventually it's going to catch up, and it's going to end up dooming the sinner. In Psalms 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's what's going to happen. Doomed. Matthew 18:8, I didn't say this, Jesus said this. I think we need to get back to a little more of Jesus' preaching on hell. Listen to what he says. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That's what Jesus said. Everlasting fire. You know, it's interesting to note that Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. So we see their condition. Let's look at their cry. They had heard about him somewhere. You know, can you imagine having this terrible disease and you went to all the doctors or whatever, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, Brother Chuck, you know, you got leprosy. He says, man, I'm done, right? But there was a glimmer of hope because, you know, back in Luke 12, Jesus did heal a leper, right? And they might hear of the hope of blind Bartimaeus, right? And he cried out to the Lord and he said, Lord, heal me, amen. And God gave sight to the blind. What about the woman with an issue of blood? You know, these lepers might have heard about this, right? And really, they got down to their last resort. And isn't that the truth for all of us? That if we're really going to be changed, if we're really going to be healed, if things are really going to be different in our lives, we must cry out to Jesus. He is only hope for mankind. Incidentally, he is only hope for America, is Jesus. That's why the devil's been trying to get him out of, he got him out of the schools and the political system and everything else, amen? Man, listen, man is not going to make everything better in society. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. Everything man touches, he messes up. And they cried out. They heard about him, amen? And they cried out and said, Master, let's go back to the text here. It says, and when he entered into the village, these lepers stood afar in verse 13, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Man, they were crying out to the Lord. They said, hey, listen, we're so far down, we got to reach up to touch bottom. Amen. They were counting their days, numbering their days. And they said, you know what? We heard about the man from Galilee. Amen. How the blind see. Amen. The lame walk. Amen. The deaf hear. And they cried out to him. They lifted up their voice. And Jesus heard them. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only answer, right? I mean, you know, Romans 3:22, the Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, has come unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. In Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. They cried out to Jesus. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it says that they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master. Amen. They cried out to Jesus. Also, there was also humility with these lepers. We need to note that they stood afar off. See, they were respected the law that demanded that they stay at least 6 feet away from another person. You know, the CDC didn't. They got that from the Bible, amen? Social distancing, right? You think about that today, right? You know? You think about someone that has COVID. I mean, in a sense, you can relate to that, you know? You got to stay away. But we know this group of 10 men, they were a lot further than 6 feet away, that they cried out to the Lord. They cried out and they said, hey, we're over here and we need you. And it took a lot of humility. These lepers were, of course, in a great need. They showed great respect for the law by remaining on the outskirts of the crowd. On another occasion, those seeking healing had ignored the law. And we know that the woman with an issue of blood, she got to the point to where she didn't care about the law or anything else. She burst into the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is every man must recognize his uncleanness in approaching Jesus. He must come in humility, confessing unworthiness, and approaching God in a great need, knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and setting aside everything else. See, you can't have it both ways with Jesus. You can't bring your religion to Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, I want you, but I want to keep this other. No, I did that for years, you know. Because I was going to be a good non-hypocritical Christian. You see what I mean? Because if I ever became a follower of Jesus Christ, I was going to show you all you hypocrites how bad you were, right? It didn't take me long after I got saved that I realized, man, I'm a hypocrite. Amen? I'd rather be a hypocrite headed to heaven, had to catch myself, than a non-hypocrite heading to hell. I spent 30 years as a non-hypocrite, looking down the end of my nose at Christians and saying how they should do this and they should do that and they should be better about their faith. But when you come to Jesus, you must humbly bow before him, knowing that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's Jesus plus nothing. Plus nothing. Amen? Jesus plus nothing. I'm a Christian first. And I'm a Baptist second. Amen. You know, Jesus is my King. Amen. And I had to bow to that. I had to humble myself. And the Bible teaches that every man must recognize his uncleanness in approaching Jesus. He must come in humility. Does not the Lord say in James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In Psalms 34:18, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. No, that's James 4:10. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You must come. You must cry, and this cry must be in a cry of humility. But then we also see that it must be a cry of mercy. Look back at our text here, and it says, what did they say? In verse 13, it says that they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Mercy. And we see here that they called him master. And the Greek word for master is not rabbi or the teacher, but it means chief, commander, the supreme one, the overseer. They came and they says, listen, I want to get to the one that has all power to meet their needs. Because, see, their need was not so much as instruction. I mean, you know, the other nine were Orthodox Jews. It's interesting that there was a Samaritan among them, right? You know, the affliction of leprosy had joined them all together. You know, sin is a great leveler, you know. And we see here that they weren't asking for instruction, but they were asking for healing. And the healing, they meant both cleansing of the physical body, but also they knew that the only one, again, let me reiterate, there was not a cure. You know, there wasn't something that, you know, I know that they're working on a vaccine for COVID and stuff, but right now there is not a cure for it. It was kind of that way with leprosy, you know. And the only way that they could get healed was a miracle from God. And that's what they wanted. But not just that. If God's going to heal you, He's not just going to heal you physically, but He will heal you spiritually. Is that not the great need today? And see, by the healing, they meant both the cleansing of their physical body and the spiritual sin which had caused their disease. See, the Jews always connected leprosy with sin. So this is definitely what they meant. They recognized Jesus to be the master who could cleanse both the body and the spirit, and who could give them both healing and forgiveness of sin. Remember, the law laid it down that if you were going to be healed from leprosy, you had to have the priest inspect you. And the priests were the ones that were going to pronounce you clean unto the people. And the priests were representatives for God. They cried out for mercy. They did not ask only for physical healing. They asked for spiritual healing, for the forgiveness of sins as well. They cried out for mercy. You know, and that's what people need today. You know, we've been involved with the Port of Hope. Sure miss that ministry there that's no longer in Coeur d'Alene. But I remember, Chuck remembers, and going in there ministering, holding Bible studies. And I'd always tell the clients that were there for whatever reason, whether it was court ordered or they were transitioning from prison and it was a halfway house into the world and they had to go through the program, or they were addicted to drugs or whatever it might be, their addiction. I always tell them, this is a great program, but if you really want success in the program, you must put Jesus first. And I'm saying, and I would say that, you must be born again. Amen? You need to be saved. You need to cry out to God. Jesus plus nothing. It'll work. But we see here, as they cried out to mercy, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we as are, yet without sin." Can you imagine? Jesus was tempted with every sin that you've been tempted with and more, right? And he did not sin. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." The Bible is filled with scriptures about mercy. Psalm 6, 1 and 2. Psalms 27, 7. Psalms 34, 6. Psalms 51, 1. Psalms 85, 7. Psalms 89, 28. Psalms 103, 8. Psalms 103, 17. Psalms 119, 77. Psalms 123, 3 through 4. And Isaiah 55, 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Aren't you glad today that you have a merciful God? You know? You know, I like to say that saying, and I didn't get it from Dave Ramsey. I got it from Michael Bergowski. Amen. Because he said it before Dave Ramsey was even on the radio. People ask me, you know, how you doing? I always say, better than I deserve, you know. And some people that listen to Dave Ramsey say, oh, you got that from, no, I did not get that from Dave Ramsey. But many times people will say to me, no, no, don't say that about yourself. No, no. The more I read this old book, the more I see how I'm undone, amen. And the more I see how close I was to a devil's hell, amen. But God saved my soul. He plucked me up, amen. He pulled me out of a miry pit and set me upon a solid rock. And I thank him and I praise him today for that, for his mercy, because I didn't deserve it, amen. And you don't either, amen. And I want to be thankful for that today. You see also that there was perseverance in these lepers. We go to the text and see if I can find it here. In Luke 17, I'm going to take a moment here and put my marker in. I want you to see this because, you know, I do want to qualify before I get to reading this. This doesn't mean that you have to work for your salvation. Okay? Hear me out here. That doesn't mean. Jesus did what, you know? Now, my Mormon friends that I know, they'll point to something like this and say, see, you got to do something to be saved. No. Jesus was just trying to get down to the nitty-gritty with them. We see here that they had to believing, but they had to obey. What did Jesus say? Let's go to the text. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, what did he say? He said, go show yourselves unto the priest. See, Jesus is never going to go contrary to the word. In the context of this disease, the only way that they were pronounced clean if the priest said that they were clean. And Jesus says, you need to go about it. You serious about this? Amen. I remember when I got saved, there was just some things I had to do. Amen. I had, number one, I didn't have to work for my salvation. Amen. But I had to realize that I was a sinner. Amen. I had to realize that I was going to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ. Amen. And I had to realize that there was no other alternative save Jesus Christ. For there is neither salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's interesting. In Acts 4:12, the context of that is when they saw the boldness of Peter's and of John. They knew that they were rough fishermen, amen? That the Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. It doesn't mean that they were stupid. They were just uneducated. They were rough fishermen. And when they seen these men, they could only attribute one thing to their change and the power of God on their life was Jesus Christ. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but the Bible says that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, Jesus is the key. I don't care what the world says, amen? Jesus is still the answer. And he's still going to be the answer, amen? When they seen, when they had to believe and they had to obey, they had to do what the Lord told them to do. In Leviticus 14:11, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here is a man that is cleansed of leprosy. Can you imagine? Amen. Jesus said unto him, in John 4:50, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed that the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. Sometimes Jesus just says, you know what? If you're serious about getting saved and your life being changed, You don't have to do anything to be saved. You just have to believe. But it does require, what word am I looking for? Some sort, an initiative on your part. You know, this easy believism stuff, that doesn't work. Amen. I'm just going to say a prayer and then, you know, my life's changed. A lot of people have did that, you know. But when you get truly saved, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you, there's going to be a difference in your life. Does not the Bible say that? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? No. And old things are what? Behold, all things. He's anew. He's saved. Amen. The next verse says, and all things are of God. Amen. God ordained it. And God told these lepers, all right, you know, they were crying out. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Amen. I like that. Amen. You know, we're in a spiritual drought. Where's our umbrella? Amen. We're praying for rain, right? Chuck was talking about plowing, right? Talking about farming, right? Pete, you'd like that, right? You know, what kind of farmer doesn't prepare the ground? Amen. Get ready, right? You know, we could listen to the enemy and we could listen to the news and we can listen to all this junk out there and get our eyes off of Jesus and forget that, listen, he wants us to still believe him. He wants us to still obey him. Amen. He wants us to still witness for him. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And every single one of them, what'd they do? They said, they turned around, they started heading for the priest. And the Bible says what? As they went, they were cleansed. Amen. And a verse that we share a lot here is Hebrews 11:1. But faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 6 it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I love that. Aren't you glad he didn't say was or is to come, right? That he is. the ever-living King of kings and Lord of lords, he is. Jesus told John on the island of Patmos in Revelation 1:8, he says, I am he that liveth, which is and which was and which is to come. Amen. He's alive now. Amen. He's working now. Amen. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 5:9 says, being made perfect, he that is the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Man. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalms 34:22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Oh, I love this verse. Psalms 34:5. Commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit in Psalms 37 means roll off into. Huh? Wake up in the morning, first thing before your feet hit the carpet or whatever you live in, right? And say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Just roll off into it, right? Say, thank you, Lord. No matter what's going on. Amen. You say, well, you don't understand. I'm a pessimist. Well, all right. You know, I get that, but you don't have to be one. Amen. You can work on it, right? You know, you'd say, well, I'm a pessimist. I used to be an optimist, but now I got experience, right? I'm a pessimist, right? Or like my brother Steve, when he was here, he says, I'm in recovery as a pessimist, right? I'm in counseling or I forget. What did he say? No, he says, I'm in pessimistic rehab, right? I'll get you the number, amen? But I'm saying we ought to be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
God saved our soul. And that brings me to the last part of the message is the gratitude. All the lepers were blessed and should have been thankful. This was true of the 10 lepers. It should be true of every man. Every one of the 10 should have turned back and given thanks. They had all been blessed by Christ. Note, they had all recognized their need. They all showed humility. They all cried for mercy. They all persevered. They all believed the Lord and obeyed the Lord and went to the priest. Their need had been met, and they had all been healed. Now it was time for all of them to turn back and give thanks and to show appreciation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Romans 15:6 says that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God's." Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Psalms 9:11 sings praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalms 35:28, "And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness of thy praise all the day long." And Psalm 67:3, "Let the people praise thee, O God, and let the people praise thee." Amen. Let me ask you something. Is your life defined by praise? Amen. As people see that, amen, and kind of piggyback a little bit on last Sunday's message, Brother Mendoza's. I mean, do you lighten up the room when you come in? Amen. Say, praise the Lord. Amen. One of my pastors that I served under in Casper, Wyoming, Grant Adams, and he did drywall, and he worked until he couldn't work no more, and the church took care of him, and he worked outside of the church a few days a week. And Brother Steve, he's a drywall taper, and I remember we were doing some apartments, and I remember him yelling across the compound. A bunch of other workers were there, and he'd say, "Praise the Lord, Brother Bobby!" Hallelujah, amen. And at that time, he was probably fighting stage 4 cancer. He only lived another year and a half. And he said, "Praise the Lord, brother." Man, isn't God good? Someone said we should get on our knees and thank God that we're on our feet. Yeah. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people that want to be here today that can't because of health. Amen. We got to praise the Lord for that. Amen. But the sad commentary of this text here shows that only one gave thanks. Only one. Only one came back. And he was the one that was the most despised and rejected of them all.
Right.
He was a Samaritan. And the Bible's clear on this, that the Jews hated the Samaritans. Amen. Why? There's a lot of history there. Amen. But one thing is because when the Assyrian Empire invaded Judah, they deliberately intermarried and infiltrated the Jewish culture to do this intermarriage and all this, and thus the Orthodox Jew rejected anybody that was of a mixed race and so on and so forth. Now, my personal opinion is that God loves everybody. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Hey, listen, I don't go for the Black Lives Matters because all lives matter. And Jesus Christ, He's a great leveler, as sin levels everybody, but the cross levels too. Amen. For there is, I'm telling you, for God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. He loves everybody. Amen. But only one came back. Only one. And we see here in the text in Luke 17, and it says that, And one of them, in verse 15, 17, 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down at his face and given him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Really, the last person of that whole group that shouldn't have gave praise to a Jewish rabbi, it was the one that praised him the most. Amen. He's seen his great need and God fulfilled it. And just to give you a sense of how that day, how the Orthodox Jews viewed the Samaritan, Barclay says it well. And he says it's the essence of the scribes and Pharisees' attitude towards the Samaritan. He says in his commentary on Luke 15 that the Pharisees gave the people a general classification, these that were outside of these Samaritans. They called them the people of the land. And there was a complete barrier between the Pharisee and the people of the land. To marry a daughter of one of them was like exposing her bound and helpless to a lion. The Pharisees' regulation laid it down like this. When a man is one of the people of the land, entrust in him no money, take no testimony from him, trust him with no secret, do not appoint him a guardian of an orphan, do not make him a custodial of a charitable fund, do not accompany him on a journey. A Pharisee was forbidden to be a guest of any such man or to have him as his guest. He was forbidden, so far as it was possible, to have any business dealings with him. It was a deliberate Pharisaical aim to avoid every contact with the people who did not observe the petty details of the law. Obviously, they were shocked to the core at the way Jesus accompanied the people of the land. Remember that the strict Jews said not, "There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." But their attitude was, "There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated." But this rejected, despised one came back and glorified God. And he gave him thanks. And he didn't wait. He shouted it to the top of his lung with the loudest voice as possible. Amen. God cleansed him, and he wanted everybody to know within the sound of his voice the great mercy and the great love that God bestowed upon him. And he worshiped Jesus. You'll see in the text that he fell down in verse 16 at his face, and he gave him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And look what Jesus does in verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found to return to give glory, save this stranger." See, Jesus pulls him out amongst the 10 and says, "This stranger, this one that was outside the covenant and the promises of God, he was alienated from the things of God." See, the Samaritan was never allowed to go into the temple and so on. But look at what Jesus does in verse 19. He said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole." I like it when he says, "Arise." It says that this man, this leper man, when he got cleansed, he came, he fell right at the feet of Jesus, right? And he didn't move. He just kept praising. And Jesus said, "Come on, you can get up now, amen? You can get on. You're a new man in Christ, amen? You can go on." Boy, that's powerful, amen? And the lesson in the behavior of the other ones that did not give thanks is tragic, amen? They kept going about the business at hand. They didn't stop what they're doing, amen? They just kind of checked the box, amen? "Well, I'm glad I don't got that disease anymore." Hey, you know what the tragic thing is you see people today that come to know Christ, amen? They claim to get saved, amen? Their marriage might be on the rocks, amen? There might be a financial trouble in their lives. Hey, they finally get so desperate and so far down that they just want to come to the Lord, amen? Because they've heard about other Christians that God snatched them out of the fire, amen? They heard about other Christians how they're, without Jesus, their life was a wreck. And Jesus put it all back together, and they figured, well, I've already tried everything else. I'll just come to the Lord, amen? And the Lord will put it back together, and God does do that, amen? I've seen it, amen? I've seen God put lives back together, and all of a sudden, they might even come to church for a little while, amen? They might get baptized and join the church and maybe even serve, but then all of a sudden, the things of the world, amen, start pulling them, and all of a sudden, they drift away, amen? And it just, they're like the nine, amen? And they just said, well, I got this now. Oh, man. You know, I got this, amen? Pretty soon their marriage gets back together, and hey, maybe their finances turn around, amen? They got money in the bank, and they start depending on themselves, kind of like Uzziah, and the King Uzziah in the Bible. The Bible says he was marvelously helped from God until he became strong. He became prideful. He became self-sufficient. And he quit depending upon God. Maybe he quit thanking God. Amen. Did you ever thank God just for the aches and pains in life? Amen. You know what that tells you? You're still breathing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm still going. Amen. And I believe we live in an unthankful world today. And most people are categorized by the nine. And Christ expects us to continually... Did we just not read a bunch of verses on praise? And that's just not even scratched the surface, amen? We should continually praise Him for what He's done for us and what He's going to do for us. And we should glorify Him and worship Him as our only source of power and strength. But we don't live in a time like that. We live, you know what depicts our times would be a better picture instead of praising Jesus for what He's did? And even as a collectively as a whole of America, that God allowed this nation to be blessed because those who left religious persecution and wanted to have religious liberty and landed here and built this country on Judeo-Christian values, and it's being attacked and torn away, amen? And it's more like what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covet, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Boy, that would sum up America's society, wouldn't it? All of them, right? Covetous, boasters, proud, lovers of their own selves. Boy, you see that. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Romans 1:21 says, because of that, they knew not God. They knew God. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. They were unthankful. Amen? But become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm telling you, man. I couldn't help but get extremely convicted when I was preparing for this message and thinking of this. I'm going just a little bit long today, but I just want to get it done. Is that okay? Just say amen. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll just stop. Amen. I'll do a Norman Stevens. I'll just walk off the platform. But I wonder how many times, and I felt convicted about this, we are blessed and we don't even recognize it. Huh? That God does a great work in our lives and in our families and He blesses us so much, and we just get so used to it that we fail to give Him praise. Amen. I really believe that's why we need to get back to the values of thanksgiving as a tradition, to a sense, but in the biblical sense of giving God more praise and more glory and more honor. Amen. And you see, this Samaritan, the one that was the most rejected, became the one that was the most thankful. Amen. And if you really think about your life, you don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. And we should just be, as the Bible says, just a people that want to give thanks and glory to God. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance, the saints in light. And one of my favorite verses in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Man, I'm telling you, plucked you up out of the dark doom of sin and the dungeon of hell and brought you into the light. We ought to praise him. Amen. Paul says this to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you do that? Amen. And hey, I'm talking about everything, all right? And that means everything. We ought to give him. We see that this man was changed, amen. No wonder he came back and he told the Lord, thank you, I praise you. Not only was he physically healed, but he was spiritually healed. Amen. He said, woo, man, I got a new lease on life. Amen. Man, but can you hear the heartbreak in Jesus' voice when he says, but where are the nine? But where are the nine? Amen. I remember there was a time we had a former member here. He's not here. He's been gone many, many years. And I was threatening I was going to get the bumper stickers made up that said, too blessed to complain. I hope you could put that on your rig, amen? But I remember him telling me, he goes, I could never put that on mine. He goes, I can't honestly put that on there. And I believe he meant it, amen? At least he was honest about it, amen? Too blessed to complain. Amen. One man's prayer was this in closing. He said, I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. In spite of myself, my prayers were answered. And I am indeed and among most men, richly blessed. Amen. If you're saved today, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.